She's a customer service.
I do it all.
She does it all. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by IMM Auto Service. They're in the northeast portion of Tempe, right south of the 202 and just west of the 101. Why is IMM important? Well, they've been important to me since 1972 because they've helped me fix cars. You see, they work on cars that make many technicians just shudder in their boots. Volvo, Saab, Fiat, and Alfa Romeos. Those four cars these guys specialize. Now, they know that you have other cars in your garage. You got domestic cars and import cars in your garage, as well as your Saab, your Fiat, your Alfa Romeo, your Volvo. They can work on all of those. But if you don't have a relationship and you have one of those cars that really is akin to what kind of animal would be so much different than everything else in the world? You know, that's what it's really about. Every animal has a heart and has a skin and has lungs, you think. But those cars don't even have brains. Now, I'm not hurting your feelings. But anyway, IMM is a great shop. And if you have any kind of domestic or foreign import vehicle and you're in West Mesa, South Scottsdale, Northeast Tempe, great place to go. But if you have a Volvo, Saab, Alfa Romeo, or Fiat, they're a better place. We have Brad on the phone. Let's take Brad right off the bat. Folks, 602-508-0960. Brad, how can we help you?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Hey, I just purchased a 2007 Mercedes Sprinter.
Okay.
And has the diesel engine in it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never owned a diesel engine. This vehicle has 127,000 miles on it. My question is, what can I do to... since I've never run a diesel before, what are the things I need to do to keep this engine running good?
All you have to do is change the oil and filter and the fuel filters when the manual says. That's all you have to do.
Other than that, they're good, durable engines?
Yep, they are. They're good, durable engines. You can't overheat them. They don't like to be overheated. There's no spark plugs, and obviously your oil changes, they're going to inspect your fluids and your tires and your brakes, all that stuff that goes along, your belts and your hoses, and you said it had 127,000 miles, so you're in the second 100,000. Now, if nobody did the hoses and belts in the first 100,000, then you need to do them now.
Right, the belt was just changed, and I can coolant hoses as good. So forth. Anyway, he was running synthetic 5W-40 synthetic oil. Is that all right to stay with that? Or
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good.
Here's the difference. 1540 is a semi-synthetic or a conventional with a much shorter interval, oil change interval. A 540 is a full-blown big dog synthetic. So
okay.
you are between 7,500 miles and 12,000 miles on your oil change intervals. How many miles a year are you going to put on this?
About 12,000.
So in reality, you can do one oil change a year. So I'm going to ask you this question. When would be the best time for anybody in Arizona, if they're going to change their oil once a year, when would be the best time of the year to do that?
Spring.
Yeah.
Before summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to process that. Yeah. I don't need any help doing that. No one ever answered spring.
Yeah. Okay. We were waiting for like a month.
All right. No. May, end of May.
If April is spring, I'll go along with that. But
now, what? I'm not usually comfortable running the full 12,000 on an oil change. You know, with a I usually change my oil before specs call for it.
Okay.
So,
well, let me comment on that in a kind of a.
And just to say, this will be all city driving also.
Okay.
I mean, he should still check his oil.
But we can't.
Especially
not
because
stop.
It's a newer vehicle to you. I mean, there's times when the vehicle leaks oil and it has a splash shield. I'm not sure about the Sprinter, but people don't see a leak on the ground, but it's losing oil.
Right.
And then they run it low on oil. So I would say if you're going the 12,000, still be checking the oil level.
Every third fuel tank. But to answer your question, your motor is not going to love you anymore or last a day or a minute longer If you change your oil every 3,000 miles with a synthetic or every 12,000 miles with a synthetic. I want to tell you something. I have a Dodge truck with 40,000 miles on it. It's my pride and joy. I go 12. My son has a Dodge truck with a diesel. He goes 12. We try to talk our customers into going 12. We got a construction guy that does 36. We do 3 oil changes a year on him.
Right.
And you can, I mean, there's so many different ways, but all I can tell you is there is no benefit. Now, if you want to do it earlier, what spread would you be happy with? Tell me what you'd be happy with.
Well, I would be happy with every 6 months.
Okay, so...
Wouldn't it make more sense for him to do a 1540 if he's going...
Exactly.
Yeah, if you want to change it more frequently, then don't waste the money doing the full synthetic, because the full synthetic's probably double.
Twice as much money.
Yeah, so if you want shorter intervals, then do the 1540, which is going to be cheaper, and you can do it more often.
And you do it twice a year.
Now, does it hurt a vehicle to go from synthetic back to conventional and back to synthetic?
No, we're moving you from... There's three kinds of oils: conventional, semi-synthetic, and synthetic.
Okay.
Now, your vehicle doesn't have a brain. It doesn't care. There's no Chevy, Ford, Dodge, Chrysler, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Audi, Fiat, Volvo. None of those cars are going to say, I'm going to get back at Brad because he just took me away from synthetic and put me in that crappy conventional. That doesn't happen.
Okay.
That motor doesn't know and doesn't care. You can put horse pee in that motor and it ain't going to make no difference.
Well,
it ain't going to last long.
I'm betting it would.
Yeah, it's going to make a little bit of difference, but you know.
You might have an odor associated with the exhaust, but you get my point.
The 1540 is a semi-synthetic.
Okay. You can buy it in a conventional, too, I'm pretty sure, but the semi-synthetic is what we pour.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So one last question, I'm sorry.
Okay, no.
What about fuel injectors? How to keep them clean? Is there anything you add to the fuel to keep the injectors clean, or is that a foregone problem from days gone by?
No. The question is, do we add anything to our fuel systems or recommend it?
No. I would say if you start to... The only time that we do a fuel injection service or anything like that is if we're using it kind of as a diagnostic tool. So you're having symptoms, it's running rough, it's misfiring, things like that.
Okay.
So other than that, I would say no, don't waste your money doing that.
Now, I do want to tell you on a diesel, let me tell you a funny story. Guy comes in the other day, he's a good friend of mine, so I'm not going to name him, but his name is Daryl. And he brings his diesel in. He just bought this truck. It has 20,000 miles on it, and he loves it. And he bought it in spite of me telling him that I make $1 million a year on Fords. But he doesn't listen to me. So he brings the truck in, and it's got a check engine light in, which means that he is just beyond repair. I mean, a check engine light is the end of his world. So we go outside. This truck is so carboned up, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's carbon everywhere. So I go out to the lobby, and I say, hey, Daryl, do you ever stomp this to the floor? Oh, no. Daryl, when you're getting on the freeway, do you ever have to really just get a hill and no. I said, well, what kind of throttle angle have you had on this truck from 0 to 100? Oh, Mark, I probably don't go over 40. I said, okay, well, I'm going to charge you $265 to fix your truck. And because you and the guy before you don't know how to drive it like you stole it. You got to drive it like you stole it. Every once in a while, you got to throttle down. You guys take your horses out, walk them around the bark, walk them around the pasture, and then all of a sudden the horse is 8 years old and you want to take it to the Kentucky Derby and figures it's going to be there first. You have to drive that truck on a 1 to 10 scale. You have to drive that truck between a 6 and an 8.
Huh.
You cannot babyfoot that truck. And here's the easiest part. You're going to turn right. You're going to get on the freeway. You look around you. You don't see any cop cars. There's nobody in front of you. Traffic is flowing. Throttle that thing down. Get down that ramp good and fast and be doing 65 when you get down there so you can merge into traffic, except on the 202 in Scottsdale where you need to be 80. So I don't want you to baby that motor. I want to tell you something. People have driven with me, Andy, in my truck, when we're hauling something up or down the mountain.
Yeah, it's pretty much scary.
It's just that the diesel likes to work.
And just take it out on the highway and give it some gas every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not advocating you rip around bashes tomorrow morning on Sunday morning and stuff. You know what I'm talking about. They're at least 20, 25% of the time, give her a little.
2 minutes.
Give her a little hell, okay?
All righty. I appreciate you. Love listening to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
602-508-0960, 602-598-0960. That was one of the things.
Wait a
minute.
You just really messed
up. I know. I was looking at the paper. 602-508-0960 if you have a car question. That was it. That was one of the things I was going to talk about is Daryl. And his diesel. He's so proud of that diesel. He just loves that truck.
Did he,
Regeneration.
We've had a couple people that I overheard you talking to them about not stopping your vehicle
right.
in the middle of doing that. I think a lot of people have shut off their vehicles while that's
Absolutely.
Going on, and they don't understand that you have to
finish it.
You have to keep driving and finish the process.
Okay, so in the diesel, you have this particulate filter, and it's supposed to capture carbon. Well, it captures carbon, but there's no way to get the carbon out of there.
So 1 minute.
During a regeneration period, the computer takes control of the car in park. You're supposed to park with your exhaust pipe, your exits on your exhaust pipe, 20 feet from anything, because we're going to have some hot air coming out of those exhaust pipes that will literally melt your plastic mop bucket or catch your house on fire. So we have to clear that area.
Mm-hmm.
The engine's going to go up and down in RPM. The engine's going to send tremendous amounts of fuel into the exhaust system. The fuel is going to ignite. The diesel fuel is going to ignite. All of a sudden, the exhaust temperature is 3 times what it would normally be. Those little pieces of carbon that are caught in the particulate filter are going to burn to powder. And then the engine's going to rev up real high and blow all that crap out. So I did. I went into Daryl and I said, I got a big old snow shovel out back and a trash can, and I want you to go clean the parking lot of all the carbon that came out of your truck.
Yeah, it was pretty strong smelling out there, I'll tell you that.
Oh, and you got that. And the motor, it's kind of like there's somebody in there because you program it. Now, folks, you can't do this, and you can't do it with the three-whiskered kid at the auto parts store. But we program it to regenerate. It's a $70 process. So that it takes an hour, but we charge $70 for it. So we reprogram it, and the car goes, and man, it's just screaming. And then it comes down to idle, and it does all kinds of stuff, but it doesn't move. But that's how we clean out your exhaust. It's kind of like a Roto-Rooter for your exhaust system. 602-508-0960. We'll be back right after this.
Raised up from under my hood.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Andy Salem. She's my daughter. She knows as much about cars as most of the guys I know. Nevertheless, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto. They've been a trusted name for automobile repair in Phoenix since 1967. Bob and Ellen, who own Larry Harker's Auto, are well known for fast and affordable services, but Bob is one of the best diagnosticians I've ever met in my life. He does auto electrical work. He does the things that nobody else can find, but he also does brake services, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance, oil change, vibrations, noises. He does all that. But when you've got some kind of an electronic fuel injection problem or some kind of a computer problem, he's really the guy to go to. So Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School, I'm very proud to have Bob and Ellen from Larry Harker's Auto Repair on my best car repair shops list. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
Hey, I'd hate to continue the diesel oil thing, but I've got a 95 F-250. I'm sorry about the Ford part, but 7.3 turbo with 340,000 miles on it. And I've changed the oil in it since 2000, every 3,000 miles with 1540. And I understand the cost of switching over to full synthetic, but would it hurt it if I went, say, 10,000 miles between changes?
No. No, we're both shaking our heads. No, not at all. Now, but I want to talk about both. Yes, you could go to a 530, a full synthetic. You could extend your oil changes. How many miles a year are you driving?
Oh gosh, I put about 3,000 miles a month on it now.
All right. Yes, I would definitely go to synthetic for you.
Yeah.
That's 4 months. That's three oil changes a year. Look at the difference between the 10 you're paying for now and the three with synthetic.
Yeah. I'm just only, you know, I thought it, it's been there forever on that, that type of oil. And if you say it won't hurt, that's what I need to know.
I promise you won't hurt it. And I'll tell you something else. Because you're going from a 1540 to a 540, I'll tell you what, you're going to get better fuel economy, maybe by a half a gallon or a gallon better.
It'd be great.
All right. And now I want you to put your hands together in front of you as if you're praying just before your wife hits you with the broom. You ready with me?
Yes, sir.
Rub your hands together like you're going yum yum. Okay, that's your motor. That's your motor. Now I want to know. I want to go in between those two hands, and I want to carry the heat out, carry the trash out, and provide lubrication. That's what your oil does. Three things. Now, as your hands are rubbing together, am I better off doing that with peanut butter or water?
Water, of course.
There you go. That's the reason why today we have 0-20 and we're not too far away from 0-10 oil. We're going to a thinner oil because it provides better protection. It makes the engines last longer. You get better fuel economy and you have extended drain intervals. So on your $300,000 or 300,000 mile Ford, no problems. Go to synthetics, cut your oil changes by one third, and I think you'll be happy.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. You know, we do lots of diesel work.
Yeah.
The performance side of our business and the maintenance side of our business, the diesel side of our business, I should just call that, really had a banner year last year.
Mm-hmm.
It had everything. Pull your mic up just a little bit. It had everything to do with a lot of new diesels.
Yeah.
We did a lot of accessories and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we also did, well, like Daryl's, the other Daryl.
Yeah.
The other Daryl. We had a friend. Oh, by the way, 602-508-0960. Do you want to give away those? Refresh my memory about Daryl in Mexico, but you want to give away those things now?
Let's probably tell them about him.
All right. One of the things is when you go into the auto repair shop, you're often told that you need a brake fluid flush. You can ask 10 shops, 10 guys, what that interval is, and none of them will match. Nobody will match. I promise you that. Nobody will match. Some guys look at it and they go, well, if it looks like iced tea, I won't do it, but if it looks like coffee, I want to do it. Some guys go, I can smell it, which is a bunch of BS. Some guys say, I do this or I do that, or I look at the odometer, and that's called odometer surfing. I'm going to tell you what you need based on your odometer, and I'm not going to ask you what you've already had done, mm-hmm. which makes a big difference.
Yeah.
I found this item on the internet that's less than $10. It looks like an ink pen, and it has two little metal probes on it, and what it does is you stick it in your brake fluid, and it tells you how much moisture is in your brake fluid, water. And water is what we're trying to get out. So this water, it has this little pen has a battery in it, and it has a green light. I think it has three or four yellow lights and then a red light. So let's assume there's three yellows.
Mm-hmm.
So that's five lights, green, three yellows, and a red.
Mm-hmm.
I'm embarrassed to tell you, I bought hundreds of them.
We don't ever buy just one of anything around my father. We buy quantities of 10 or more, no matter what it is, in case.
How? All right, okay. How successful were the thermostats during the summertime,
yes,
during air conditioning?
Yes, they were.
Okay.
I'm sure people were very appreciative. Well, okay. And those aren't just for your cars either, so that worked out good.
I'm going to change subjects real quick. We bought these little bitty thermostats that you can stick in your vent, and we gave them to our customers, and we said to them, free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
I think they cost us $8.
Mm-hmm.
Free of charge, and if it drops below 55 in the summertime, come in and we'll make it better. But if it's 55 or less, we're not going to deal with it. You don't need anything. We're not going to make you better.
Yeah.
And how many people have, and they bring their cars in for oil change, and they still have the stupid the thermometer in the vents.
Yeah.
All right, we need to go back to where I was at. What was I talking about?
The red, the three yellow, and the...
That's right. We're going to give those away right now. The do-it-yourselfers are the people that really would benefit this. If you work on your own car, then do-it-yourselfers. What I originally said was, on Facebook, is I said, if you bought this thing, it's $5, $6, $7, $8. If you buy one of these, you can verify whether the shop did the work because you know what the reading was before and after.
Mm-hmm. 2 minutes.
You can do that. You can determine whether you need this or not because if the shop says you need it and you check it and it has a green light and it doesn't have yellow 1, yellow 2, or yellow 3, or red 4, then you don't need brake fluid flush.
Yeah.
So how many do you want to give away? 10?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we're going to give away 10. So what you do is you call Gil and you give him the last four digits of your Social Security number. The last four digits. Gil's going to give Andy that. Then you have to call Salem Boys Auto in Tempe on Monday and talk to Andy. And you'll give her the last four digits of your serial number. Andy will take your phone number, and Andy will call you when they come in. We expect them in this next week.
Okay.
So then she'll put your name on it, and you'll stop by and pick one up. So 602-508-0960, you're going to talk to Gil. And if you say, I want to win one of the 10. Now, Gil's going to shut off after the 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when Gil tells me that we've done 10, then we're going to stop too. So 602-508-0960. First 10 callers that want one of these little pens is going to get one for free. I don't care if you're my customer or not. I'll give them to whoever calls in. It just doesn't make any difference. 602-508-0960. So we got way off track here, but I started with some story, and I can't even remember. Oh, other Daryl in Mexico. Daryl in Mexico. We got to remember that story. So if you have a car question, 602-508-0960, that'll work too, because you can call and Gil put you in queue, and then we'll take you. We have five lines for that. But again, if you want to win one of these little brake fluid testers, 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Andy Salem. We're both from Salem Boys Auto in Tempe, and we're here for you. Just for you, 602-508-0960. Well, we've successfully really hammered Gil.
Yeah.
Gil is our engineer, and he is a wonderful person and a wonderful guy to run our show. And he says the phone lines blew up. And so he's going to let us know when there's 10 people that have called in. And they're going to get our free little tester. Now, I got to read you something.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, Goody is a guy that owns a Mercedes-Benz repair shop in Scottsdale off Shea Boulevard. Goody's a friend of mine. Brake fluid testers that you're talking about will also test DEF, which is diesel exhaust fluid, and the alcohol content of homemade beer or wine. So, Goody, I want to know how you know that. How do you know that these little brake fluid testers will test alcohol or the content of homemade beer or wine? He's probably got a damn still in his backyard. And, Goody, it's okay. You have my personal cell, so you can send me that kind of stuff, and I don't mind that at all. Okay, let's talk about a great shop. Folks, I have a list of the best car repair shops. It's available on our website, SalemBoysAuto.com. It sounds kind of weird that one shop is telling you about some other guys, but, see, we can't handle the entire city. We can't do that. We can handle the area of our expertise as Tempe, Chandler, Gilbert, Ahwatukee, Sun Lake. So the southwest corner of the valley is kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
But we'll give you an example. Thompson's Auto Repair is in Mesa. He's a long way away from us, but he's a great shop. Since the 1970s, Thompson's has been providing expert auto repair, light truck maintenance services to their customers in the Mesa area. They're centrally located. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. They do a really good job, and you only have to meet and shake the hand of Brian and Thelma, the owners, to understand why they're on our list. They are exactly the kind of people, and I say this with a smile on my face, Thelma is exactly who you wish your son brought home. And Brian is exactly who you would wish your daughter brought home. They are just, and they're the kind of people you want as your neighbors. So Thompson's Auto Repair, Main Street, just east of Stapley. Great place to go. A great place to have your car repaired. As far as my shop is concerned, we can't be everything to everybody, and we don't think it's in your best interest to drive from North Scottsdale to South Tempe, Southwest Tempe. That's a bad deal. If you go to my website, SalemBoysAuto.com, you're going to find all the shops throughout the valley that I think that you should patronize. I've had this list since 1988. This list has evolved. Some people have left for financial reasons. Some people have gone out of business mm-hmm. or retired.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of shops have been tossed. I'm not shy about that. And some people have just said, I want to redirect some of my marketing money this way. And sometimes they come back. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
when you call me and you say, hey, my shop is no longer on your list. We had one this year. I said to him, I'll say to you, he's still a good shop.
Yeah.
It's just that you don't have the protection of our umbrella. Our umbrella says this. If you have a complaint with the shop and you take it to the Better Business Bureau and the Better Business Bureau tells the shop to fix your car or write you a check and the shop doesn't and they're on my list, I'm going to kick the shop off my list and I'm going to either give you the money or I'm going to fix your car up to
$5,000. And contest is over.
And contest is over, Gil says. Contest is over. So don't. You can call in for a car repair question, 602-508-0960, but we have 10 callers who we're going to give 10 of these brake fluid testers to. And so you're going to call Andy at Salem Boys Auto on Monday morning, Monday sometime, and you're going to give her the last four digits of your Social Security number. She's going to look at the list that we got from you. And then Andy says, give me your name and your phone number. And then when they come in, you can drop by Salem Boys Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 6.
Yeah.
And stop by and pick up your free brake fluid tester. You're not obligated to go through any kind of a sit down and listen to us talk to you.
No.
You're not required to show us your driver's license. You're not required to tell us who does your car repair car work. We're just doing this because this is a nifty thing. Now, if you want to buy one yourself, send me an email, and I will send you the link for this. Another thing you can do is go to...
1 minute.
If you go to Facebook, I'm on Facebook. Actually, Andy's on Facebook on my behalf most of the time. What she does is she'll take your car questions and she'll send them to me email. I'll answer them and then she'll post it on Facebook. But Andy and I posted this information on Facebook. And if you're a Facebook, what they call them, Facebook freakies or something like that, whatever they call
them. I don't know.
I think you just did.
Gil goes, I think you just did. Facebook user. Okay, if Facebook freakies, I think. Facebook user, then if you want to friend me, I'm going to tell you right now. I don't tell you that I'm having a fight with my wife. I don't talk about politics. I guarantee you that. I don't talk about anything except cars. The last two posts that I think I asked you to post were a day in the life of the car repair guy. It was a question and my answer.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we do. It's kind of teaching you about car repair, what to say, what not to say, that kind of stuff. When we come back, if there's nobody on the phone, we're going to tell you a story about a lady who went into a shop and they told her she needed $3,800 worth of transmission. And at the end of the day, another shop fixed the car for $2,200 worth of engine work. And when she asked them something, they refused to do it. And that should tell you all you need to know. So the lines are open for calls. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Andy Salem. We're here at your service, and we've got four callers on the line. So all I'm going to do is tell you real quick about Kurtz Auto Repair, and we're going to grab those callers. Kurtz Auto Repair is an independent, family-owned operation. They're recognized as one of the best shops in town because they were recognized as a Better Business Bureau Ethics Award winner. So he opened his doors in 1987. Kurt is a great guy. He has family working there. They work on domestic and import cars, both gas and diesel. They have ASE master technicians at their shop, which means your car is going to be repaired by well-trained and certified guys. Kurtz Auto Repair is located I-17 and Bell, northeast corner, I-17 and Bell. It's a great place to go. Rebecca, ladies, are first. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. I go with a fellow who in his previous job drove a lot, so he had a crappy little Saturn with awesome mileage. Now he's in a new position working with higher wealth clients, and he's looking to replace that car. He's kind of attracted to the BMW Z3 or Z4, and the mileage isn't so great, and it's said that you need to use premium. Do you have any input? The years he's been looking at is between 97 and 2004.
Your question is one that we get all the time and about premium versus regular, et cetera, et cetera. Let me explain. I'm going to divide a second into a million pieces. Are you with me?
Okay.
Regular gasoline explodes as if a balloon explodes.
Okay.
Premium gasoline is about 1 or 2 milliseconds more. 1 or 2 millionth of a second. And let me answer it to this way. My wife had a supercharged Jaguar. It called for premium. I never put premium in it. I had a Corvair or Corvette. Never put premium in it.
I never.
The only thing I put premium is I have a twin turbo Corvette, and it pings if I don't put premium in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm locked to that. But your BMW, here's what you do. Somebody fills it up for him or you, whichever, and you try to guess, because my wife would say the same thing. I really feel bad. My Denali, my Suburban needs a premium. This is my wife of 43 years who just doesn't know anything about cars. She's
right.
She's a good cook, but that's about all. I would say to her, I'll go fill yours up. You go fill mine up. And you put whatever you want in mine. I'll put whatever I want in yours. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, I couldn't guess which one she had put in, and she tried to fool me. She put super in the whole time, and I put regular in hers the whole time, and she couldn't tell either. So the answer to your question, in the absence of any other symptoms, you can put the cheapest gas you can find in that car.
And would you have an opinion on the mileage? What he saw on the internet, fuel mileage rates, 1 in 29.
Okay. Well, and that when they sold me my Dodge 1-ton diesel, they said I was going to get the tall 18s and the low 20s, and I haven't seen that in 54,000 miles. I'm not within 3 miles of the gallon of that. And sometimes I'm going downhill a lot, too. You drive to Payson to our ranch, and then you come back. It's kind of downhill. The Internet has lots of good information, but don't forget, the majority of the input to the Internet is personal experiences. So unless the person has the study data in front of them, everything in that car has to do with the driver's foot and how much weight that car's hauling. If this driver is hauling his 3 fat chick girlfriends around all the time, then he's going to get poor fuel economy. If he's drag racing every Tom, Dick, and Harry, he's going to get poor fuel economy. If he drives to Flagstaff all the time, he's going to get poor fuel economy. So it just has to do with how many newspapers in the back, because I'm going to get in trouble for that other comment.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and the golf clubs and stuff like that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a great day. I appreciate it.
You betcha. Premium versus regular. William, you're up next. William, how can we help you?
Hey, I bought an old 73 Dodge Power Wagon as a toy, and the battery, it'll just kind of, it just drains. After a full trickle charge, it'll last for a good 3 or 4 days, and then it'll just be completely dead again. And I've changed the battery cables, and I'm kind of not sure what could cause my battery just to be draining so slowly.
Okay. The first thing you want to do is you want to get a voltmeter, a DC voltmeter. Do you have one?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to bring that battery up to 13.8 to 14 volts with your battery charger, and then I want you to disconnect the cables, and I want you to check it every morning. We need to know whether the truck is drawing the battery down or whether the battery has a shorted cell and it's drawing itself down. So we're going to take the cables off of it, and if every morning it goes 13.9, 13.9, 13.9, 13.9, 13.9, then it ain't the battery. It's at that point you ain't going to fix this. But there's a lot of us out there with gray hair, especially in our ears and our noses, that can fix that thing and tell you what's the matter with it inside of 20 minutes to 45 minutes. We have inductive amp probes. We understand how the fuse box, half of it is ignition powered, half of it is battery powered. We understand all that. We can take an inductive amp probe, wrap a particular section of power. There's the draw. It's a 0.8 amp draw. Then we start popping fuses or we start disconnecting relays. Boom, there it is. Replace the relay. Boom, you're out the door. Now, the diagnosis I'm talking about is, somewhere between 30 minutes and 45 minutes. But the repair is, could be anything. I did an old Dodge the other day, and the alternator was bad. So once I disconnected the alternator, and see, that's something else. We'll charge the battery. We'll let it sit. We'll do the battery lists for the next couple of mornings. Then you can pull the alternator, power wire. Then if the battery maintains, then you know that the battery or your old alternator or your regulator is bad in that old power wagon. That's about all you can do yourself.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You betcha. Ron, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, I was wondering how you guys handle changing the antifreeze and coolant in the car. You guys have a machine now or something that draws it out?
I used to, but here was the problem with the machine. First of all, I paid a couple $100 a month for the machine. The second part was they wanted me to buy their chemicals. So by the time I got done, I was way out of the park. What we do is I bought machines, so I don't have to pay the lease and I don't have to buy their product. Mm-hmm. And we actually hook it up to the car, and we're going to flush all the stuff out first, and then we're going to put a 50-50 mix of antifreeze back in your car and ship you out the door. And we're going to use the color you had, or if you have one of those extended services, we have an amber that covers all those cars.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to take the thermostat out to do that?
No, we don't. Mm-hmm. We don't, because there's two ways in and out of the engine and not go through the upper hose. We can go through a heater hose, or we can go through the lower hose, or we can just force it through the lower hose back into the engine with the heater hose. So okay. It's not uncommon. Now, in the old days, we just used to do everything at the heater hose. We would open up the petcock at the bottom of the radiator.
Right.
We would hook up the garden hose to the heater hose, and we'd run everything till it was clear. Then we'd park the car on a slope, drain out the petcock, we'd mix 1 gallon of coolant and 1 gallon of water in a 5 gallon bucket, and we'd top it off and send you on your way. That's still valid. The problem is what are you going to do with that antifreeze at your house?
Right.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
On a Dodge Dakota 2002 3.9, the thing is going through freeze plugs. Yeah. Ever heard of that?
Well,
I'm like on the third set.
Okay. You wouldn't have been, if you'd have called me after the first, they're probably putting the galvanized ones back in there.
It did look like galvanized. I changed them out.
I would never put those in. I would have taken a micrometer and I'd have put brass in. I'd have put a little bit of JB Weld around the outside of the brass. Brass mm-hmm. doesn't rust.
Mm-hmm.
And the electrolysis is causing your problems, because maybe you're leaving your coolant in there too long, and when we leave it in too long, it starts having properties like battery acid.
Yeah.
But battery acid won't cause anything with brass. So
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what we do. We do freeze plugs. I'm going to switch you over from galvanized to brass, and I'm going to give you a lifetime guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Because brass doesn't rust.
Yeah.
I'm cheating, but mm-hmm. that's what you need to do. Now, the brass ones come in a cup and in a flat concave. I'm
right.
using the cup ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using the cup ones. But not
yeah.
me, but everybody else. So if you have to do it again, then either you get the cup ones or you tell the shop to get the cup ones.
Yeah. Well, I got some cup ones, but I don't know what they're made out of.
Well, if they're brass, they're brass colored.
Yeah, they're not brass. And they don't look like they're galvanized. I don't know what this stuff is.
Are they silver?
Yeah.
Okay, they're probably a coated galvanized.
No.
So, if you've had problems with those, that's the
try
definition of insanity.
Different.
Yeah, let's
yeah.
try something different. Just go to the auto parts store and tell them to break out their micrometer and tell you what the diameter of the one that you have that you know fits, mm-hmm. and then look in their stupid book and give you something from a brass that's the same size.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Have you heard of that with that particular vehicle going through freeze plugs?
No, but one of the things I would do from an electrical point of view is it's absolutely important that we don't use the coolant to ground anything. The negative cable goes to the motor.
Uh-huh.
Then we have to have four other grounds. We go motor to firewall.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go from the battery to the core support for all the headlights. And then we have to have from the motor to the frame. So we have to have all those grounds in there. If we mm-hmm. don't have those grounds in there, and you're talking about something, what'd you say that was, a 73? Or what
no.
year's that Dakota?
No, 2002.
That's right. I wrote it down. If you have a 2002, that thing's 13 years old. It's probably been worked on a lot. But if one of those grounds is missing, the electrolysis causes this kind of problem. Now, you could take some 12-gauge wire and run from the battery to the engine, the battery to the firewall, the battery to the core support, and the battery to the framing, you'd be home free.
Okay.
All righty?
All right. Very good.
Good luck to you. All righty. Bob, you're up next. How can I help you?
Bob dropped. So
okay.
Lines are open.
Lines are open. Oh. Lines are open, 602-508-0960. We're going to do another hour, so even though we have to take a 3.5-minute break at the top of the hour, we'll still be back. So if you want to get in real quick, then you can, 602-508-0960. What were we going to talk about?
We were going to talk about Daryl, Mexico.
Oh, Daryl goes to Mexico. He's a friend of ours. And his Allison, or his GMC Duramax.
Does he have a Ford 6.0?
Is that a Ford 6.0? Is it really?
Yeah.
That even makes the story better, don't it?
Because I think Alan told him, don't buy it.
Oh.
Because it's a Ford 6-liter.
Okay. Okay, it's a Ford 6-liter diesel. And he goes there, and oh, that's right. They did a FICM,
yeah.
A fuel injection control module. That didn't do it. They did two sets of injectors. They charged him $1,400 and gave him nothing. He had to rent a dolly. And he pulled his big 3/4-ton truck from Mexico to Phoenix with a Volkswagen Bug hauling a dolly. And in Tucson, the strap broke and the car came off and it was a calamity, or his truck came off and caused all kinds of a calamity. So he finally gets the truck up here and we find out that the EGR cooler underneath the intake is leaking water into the coolant. Well, those guys were chasing their tails. So one of the things that happened there, we knew, but we thought that what it had caused was the EGR cooler had failed in the cooling system. So we have oil in the water and water in the oil. We thought that was the EGR cooler. Well, actually, what had happened is he had overheated it. So now it has blown head gaskets. So it lasted about 2 weeks until it got critically low on coolant and it overheated. So we brought it back in, and now we have blown head gaskets. So I think we had blown head gaskets before, but we blamed it on the EGR cooler. But we also didn't know that he had overheated it before.
Yeah.
So now what we're going to do is put some sealer in it and see
if
we...
And let him drive it till the wheels fall off.
Exactly. He doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a big repair.
It is a big repair. If this sealer works, this is the first time we've tried it on diesels. You remember, this sealer is... Mark Salem is his favorite sealer.
Yeah.
Eddie has that one Lexus car that he's got that's 3 years on this sealer. And it's never had a problem since then. So this sealer works just great for blown head gaskets.
1 minute?
So the compression ratio on a car, though, is 8-1, where a diesel could be 20-1. So there's
that's
a little bit more.
It's going to be a true test.
Yeah, this is going to be a true test whether we're going to be able to pull this off or not. But the expense associated with pulling it, now if you broke a head or if we have to replace a head, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So it's an ugly situation.
Either way, it's going to be.
Well, even if the head gaskets are the only problem, we have to machine the heads, we're still talking probably in the $4,000 range, $5,000 range.
Is that the one that they pull the cab off?
Cab on, you bet.
Yeah.
We're pulling the cab on that truck, which means we take the entire cab off the frame so that we can have access to the motor.
Yeah.
And that's, everybody has to do that. Just, we don't just do that. Everybody does that.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
602-508-0960. We'll be back for another hour of fun and frivolity. And I apologize for my stupid statement about...
Don't even repeat it.
You know, something in the back seat of a car causing additional weight. I'm sorry about that. I truly am. Please don't tell the station.
Master Technician Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and I've got to tell you real quick about it, about Air Park Auto Service. Air Park Auto Service is up in Scottsdale. Now, in Scottsdale, I have one shop that really does a good job north of Indian Bend, and it's Air Park Auto. Nadine and Stacy opened Air Park Auto Service in 1985. Stacy passed away a while ago, and Nadine is still running and operating that shop. She's a very sturdy lady, and she knows right from wrong. She's been around cars almost her whole life, so she's smart. So any of those of you ladies that prefer to deal with a lady, then Air Park Auto Service in Scottsdale would be a good place for you to develop a relationship. They've been on my best car repair shops list for years and years. They have a state-of-the-art, clean, green facility. They have all the latest diagnostic tools. I know you'll be happy with Air Park Auto. They're on Raintree, just south of Frank Lloyd Wright or Bell, just east of Hayden. Raintree and Hayden. Just east. All righty. Let's go to our callers real quick. Steve, you're first, and Harry, you're second. Steve, go right ahead.
Yeah, Mark, Steve in Glendale, love your show.
Thank you.
I'm looking for the last sort of repair shop I'll ever need. I have a 2000 Toyota 4Runner that I've had since bought it brand new. Six-cylinder, two-wheel drive, kept it in great shape, and it runs like it's brand new, and it looks like it's brand new. So I'm bouncing around between auto shops right now. and I am just looking for a suggestion for a good, trustworthy shop that won't try to sort of find things wrong with it, you know?
Okay. Well, I think Glendale. Can you go north up to Deer Valley?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, I got two of them along the I-17 corridor. I've got Action Auto Repair at Deer Valley, northwest corner of Deer Valley and I-17, and I've got Kurtz on the northeast corner of Bell and I-17.
Okay.
I personally, well, as all my shops, I want to tell you, both these guys, neither of these guys is into this bring you in for a $9.95 oil change and sell you the world, flush your wallet out of your pocket. They're just, you know, what do you want us to fix? What do you want us to do? And we'll do it, and we'll do it right. They know the difference. The other day, one of them, I'm not going to tell you who, had a customer complaint. So I investigated the customer complaint on behalf of the customer. And I said to the shop and to the customer, I think the customer's wrong on this complaint, and here's why. And one of them said, you know what? He's been a customer of mine for a long time, and I'm going to give him what he asked. And I said, fine. That's fine. I was impressed. It's not. I wasn't impressed because they overruled me. I was impressed because they just saw the value of the customer. And it was an issue on – it was a real gray area issue where maybe the customer led the shop to go in this direction, and really they should have said to go north instead of south. And so there was a little bit of diagnostic money that went towards here and there. And really, it, they both admitted their parts, and neither one of them lied. And so, but I'm just telling you, if you want that kind of – develop a relationship and have one that you can pass on from generations. Because I'm proud to tell you I'm on the third generation. I did Grandma and Grandpa in 1979 that are now Grandma and Grandpa. Then I had Mom and Dad. Now I got their kids. Yesterday, one of their kids came in. So Tom will be around a long time. He's up at I-17 in Deer Valley. And Kurt's going to be around a long time, and he's at Bell. So either one of those shops.
How many miles does your 4Runner have on it, Steve?
I have 215,000 miles on it.
Okay, so you're due now to pay for the second 100,000, more than likely. So belts and hoses and stuff like that that you did not pay for the second 100, you're due in the first 20 of the next 100. Now you get to 220, 230, you've done all that work. Now you go from 230 to 300 and you're home free. Or two, the other way around.
And just ask, if you get a list from a shop, any shop, just ask them to prioritize it, or ask them to, you know, what needs to be done now, what can wait, and ask them to show you
and price
as well.
It.
You know,
and the prices. You can do
the
it
water
as well.
Pump. The water pump just got replaced. That finally went after 15 years or 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the original one. So that was great. But they also did the timing system, timing belt, and everything.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So I'm good to go with all that. It's running like a dream.
That's great.
I want to keep it forever because it's just, I love the truck. It's the best truck I'll ever own, probably. I just love it.
Okay, well, and they die for two reasons. Of all the motors that we replace them because they were run low on oil or overheated.
I religiously change oil every 3,000 miles.
Okay.
And I've never used synthetic. I use what was standard the whole time.
All right, you'll be fine. Good luck to you. Thank you very much. You betcha. Harry, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Good talking to you again.
Yes, sir.
A week or two ago, you were talking about Carfax.
I was.
Carfax, on, when you buy a used car, somebody called in and was asking about buying a car, and I think you said something about Carfax.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to another show. I think it's on your channel, Car Insiders. And they were talking about, buying cars and, whatever. And they said something about Carfax that I'd never heard before, that if there's an accident or something like that, it's only reported to Carfax if it's been reported to the police department.
I don't know that that's the truth. I can tell you that I've seen cars with accidents reported, and I believe that they're reported by the insurance companies, and I also believe they were reported by the dealerships. And let me explain why. Carfax has come to me and asked to buy my database. So I'm not willing to sell the database because I have to ask 38,000 people for permission, and I don't have enough time in my life to do that.
Right.
But they want the work order with the VIN, and they want to know everything I've done so they can import it and put me there. So when you run a Carfax, you'll find dealer says that oil change, dealer this, dealer that. That's because the dealer sold their database. So dealers, body shops also come in that big package. So now we've got the some of the insurance companies, I'm pretty sure, but I know for sure that dealerships, body shops are tied to that. So I think it's a good – I haven't changed my mind, though, Harry. With all due respect, it's still a – it's the other day a guy brought a car in yesterday for a used car checkover, and it had four owners, but in reality it had only gone through two people. So you have to decipher the Carfax to understand that actually it went from a dealer to a in to an auction, then it went from the auction to the second owner. And then the second owner happens to be at a used car lot. So it really only had two owners, although it shows that it's had four. So
yeah, it gives a lot of good information, like you said, with the owners and stuff. A lot of people say, hey, I'm the original owner. You do a Carfax and you figure out that's not the truth, or it's been through 10 different people and there's probably a reason why.
Yeah.
But if somebody got into an accident and paid cash or just paid and didn't go through their insurance, I'm not sure that that would be on a Carfax, correct?
You're right. If they hired a shop that wasn't given their database, there would be no record of that. But here's what happens. You have a you have an accident. More than likely, you're going to have a document called a police report. Mm-hmm. More than likely, you're going to have an insurance company involved. And more than likely, you're going to have the repair facility involved. There's a 1 in 3 chance that's going to get on the internet or that get on the Carfax.
Unless you are driving a Suburban and do donuts in your own car wash. And run it into a wall, and there wasn't a police report, and there wasn't an insurance company.
They should be horsewhipped.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure who that was, but I'm pretty sure.
I am astounded.
Nobody knows about
that.
I am shocked.
Can I ask you another question?
No, you can't. No, you're done with questions right now, buddy. You're done. Holy man. Now I'm forced to tell the story because you can never do radio by telling a joke without telling the story.
Okay.
Here's the story. I built a Suburban, and it had a 454, and it was a four-wheel drive, and I had fancy paint on it, and I put a blower on it, and it was a doggone monster.
Well, that's a good off-road vehicle.
So yeah. I picked up Andy from a volleyball game, and behind me was my wife and the other two kids. And we always drive through our self-service car wash when we can just to make sure everything's okay. So I pull through the first bay, and the bay's wet, so I get my tires wet. And as I pull around the four bays, there's a big parking area in the front. And I used to say to the kids, do you want to take a trip around the car wash? And I could go into bay one and burn in the rubber, spin the car around and go through bay four and do a complete circle with kind of sliding sideways. So, today I'm with Andy. Renee's parked at the entrance of the car wash. It's dark. I say to Andy, you want to take a spin around the car wash? Andy says, no, I don't. Well, it doesn't make any difference to me. I throttle up the Suburban. I'm doing a spin. All of a sudden, I hit a dry patch. The rear end grabs. It launches me into a wall. And the next thing I know, we are at a 45-degree angle because the Suburban has crawled a wall in the car wash. Then as it comes down, you know those big 4-inch poles that you put to protect your walls? Those
bollards? Did it work?
It just ramped my butt right up on that wall. And then it came back down, so Renee is really mad. Andy is crying. Alan is laughing. So I back the Suburban, which is leaking every fluid
possible.
I back it over by the gate, and I hop in Renee's car and say, you know, let's go home. The next morning I get there, and my guys have wrapped it in crime scene tape. And that was a $15,000 mistake that I fixed, and there's no record of that.
Yeah, $15 or $1,000 burnout that did more damage to the Suburban than it did the car wash.
So yes, that happened, and thank you for bringing that up. And
yeah,
this will
no
be
problem.
The last time you come to this radio show, I can tell you that much. Hey, Harry, thank you very much, buddy.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All righty. All right, 602-508-0960. I'm telling you what. You bring up those things in my world that I don't really know why you do that. Okay, folks, if you do business with someone, no matter what kind of the business is, and if you have a bad experience, you can always review them on the internet. And of course, you all know that there's Yelp and there's Better Business Bureau and there's Angie's List and there's all kinds of review places. Google has one. But if somebody treats you nice, then I think you should also do that as well. I think it goes both ways. As a business owner, I am not soliciting your reviews. I'm just simply asking you, as one of my listeners, that when you get treated extra nice, I'm saying from like maybe 80% to 100% of your expectations, that you do something nice, that you go on, just give a brief summary of what it is they did and why you found it so nice. We're being held hostage in the business world by people who go in and they're untraceable. And I actually had one myself the other day where they talked about something that never happened at my shop, and I simply asked for the number of the work order because we can backtrack the work order, and they said no. So I don't even know who the customer is, but they talk about a situation that none of my 30 people have ever, we never experienced. Mm-hmm. The conversation never occurred, and fact of the matter is if that conversation would have occurred, it would have been overheard by other people. So it was a front lobby conversation. So I don't know if it was a competitor. I don't know if it's somebody I didn't hire. I don't know if it's Andy's old boyfriend. I don't know who it is. All I can tell you is that businesses in general appreciate reviews even if they're bad. And I've had bad ones that I deserved, and I hope I made them right. So on behalf of all the businesses, the dry cleaners, the restaurants, your auto repair shop, all those people.
Yeah, just spend some time. Just say something nice.
Say something nice, if you're going to say something negative, just leave the door open for a solution.
Yeah.
Remember that one lady said, I was unhappy about the windshield wipers. They bent one, and our solution was bring your car in, we're going to put new wipers on it, and we're going to give you a free oil change for your time. But she told us what it was wrong, and then we made it right.
Yeah, you can make it right.
So anyways, and we have lines open, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. This ain't good. Welcome back, everybody. 22 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We've got open lines available. Bob, you're first. Stay right there. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by S&S Tire and Auto Service. They have three locations on the west side. They have one in Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. At S&S, they have a complete, and when I say complete and comprehensive line of tires, what I say is every size and a variety of brands, so you have choices. So if you want something that's just going to last the next year, they got it. If you want something that's going to last the next 50, 60,000 miles, they've got it. But they also have tires for your farm equipment, your golf equipment, your lawn equipment, your garden equipment, your ATV, your trailers, commercial tires, and construction equipment tires. So they've got anything. They'll balance your new tires, and they do alignments, and they do suspension work if that's what you need done. But they're not going to tell you you need something you don't. So if you're looking for tires on anything you own, then my suggestion is stop by one of the S&S tire locations in the West Valley, Peoria, Surprise, or Goodyear. Bob, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. My wife has a 2015 Equinox with a four-cylinder, and the owner's manual says at 45,000 miles, you have to have the transmission and the brake fluid replaced. So what do you think is the ballpark? Pop that around.
What do you think?
I have the
cheat sheet right here.
A transmission flush and a brake flush?
Yeah.
Brake flush, I would say you're probably about $110.
Okay, we're going to bracket that so we cover everybody else. The transmission fluid flush is going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $150 to $200. I'm bracketing my price.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair thing to do. Some guys are going to be a little lower. Some guys are going to be a little higher. Okay, as far as your brake fluid flush, depending on if you have ABS, it's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of probably $125 to $175.
I want to
caution you about something. I'm surprised about that at 45,000 miles. I would think that if you'll send me a link, mark@salemboysauto.com, send me your email. I'll send you a link for this brake fluid tester because that's the issue. It's moisture. So if you have a lot of moisture, we need to flush it. But if you don't have a lot of moisture, then I don't flush my own, and I sometimes go 100,000 miles without flushing my brake fluid, because the moisture content is not of significance, and I'm not worried about it. brake fluid and water together deteriorate your brake fluid. Water is a bad thing. Water and brake fluid just causes corrosion you wouldn't otherwise have with just brake fluid. So the moisture content is the important part. With respect to the transmission fluid, this is what I would do if I were you. I would take the dipstick out of the transmission and I would touch it to the chrome bumper. And then I would go get a quart of transmission fluid and I would touch it to the front bumper. And if they both are red and cherry and they both have the same light reflection and they both look the same and they both smell the same, I'm not quite sure I would be happy if my technicians told you you needed a transmission flush.
I can't find the dipstick. I don't think there is a dipstick on that transmission.
And if that's the case, in your owner's manual, it will say that. And if that's the case, then I'm really confused because the sealed transmissions typically start service at about 80 to 100.
Yeah.
So, now, on the sealed transmission, there's usually a screen. And what we have to do is we have to find and take the two cooler lines that go forward to the cooler. We have to interrupt those lines and we have to hook a flush machine up and we push new fluid in and old fluid out. And right now probably only about 25% of the shops are don't want to do that or are capable of doing that. So you're going to want to call around and say to them, I think I have a sealed transmission and it's calling for a flush at 45. I'm really surprised about that because it's been my understanding that the seals are going 80 to 100 every time I've ever looked in an owner's manual. So,
but I'd want to go to a transmission shop, for not a general repair shop for the transmission service.
No, anybody could do that.
Yeah, that's not really that hard. If you have the equipment and you've used it more than once, that's not really that hard. It's quick connect connectors. And I want you to picture this. There's two tubes that are 6 inches in diameter that are 4 foot tall. Are you with me?
Yes.
They're plexiglass. They're see-through. And so I'm going to dump, well, I don't know, if your Equinox is a General Motors, so I'm going to take Dextron. I'm going to dump probably 3 gallons, 15 quarts. Well, 3 gallons is 12 quarts. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to dump 3 gallons in the one tube, and I'm going to start flushing. And the other tube is going to have the old stuff in it. So as I see it coming into the other tube, as soon as it starts looking like the other tube, I shut the valve, and then I just do the backwards. Then I start pushing the new fluid in and shoving the old fluid out. And so once I see that I've flushed it good, then I flip the valve and I start filling it with new stuff. It's not that hard. It's the equipment's sophisticated, but it's not that hard. All righty?
Okay. So the total for the brake and transmission?
Could easily be $300 to $400, just depending on who's doing it.
Shouldn't be over $400 for the whole thing.
It should not be. It should not be.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks,
Mark. Thank you.
I think one other thing, too, is a lot of people get confused between the transmission flush and the transmission service.
Okay.
So the flush is going to replace, 8 to 10 quarts plus, and you're not doing a filter. With the transmission service, you're dropping the pan, you're doing less of the fluid, but you're doing the filter.
Right.
So there's a difference between the two, and a lot of people don't really understand that difference.
But he can't find the dipstick, and that bothers me, which means it's going to have a screen, probably going to have a screen and a non-serviceable filter,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be a sealed transmission.
Yeah.
So the fact that they can't find the dipstick raises the hair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You go,
yeah.
Okay, all right. Then, and if he's right, then there's a good chance that there's not going to be any screen to clean, or if there is, you pull this thing out, and it's this little round thing about the size of a 50-cent piece that's 3 inches long,
yeah.
and you pull it out, you clean it up, you put it back in, and you're done.
Yeah.
So a sealed transmission's going to have the ability to capture all the solid byproducts in some other place,
mm-hmm.
and it's not going to hurt the transmission.
And if you have a dipstick, then you have that option of doing
it. Absolutely. Either. Dipstick makes it a lot easier in every sense of the word because if you do just the filter and you want to put 3 of the 10 quarts back in it, you just put 3 in the dipstick tube and you're done.
Yeah.
So It's you're right. It's easier that way. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. You got 1 in 5 chance if you call now. When we come back, I'm going to tell you the story that I promised to tell you the other day about a lady with a Nissan Frontier that took it into a shop, and she was told she needed a $3,800 transmission. She took it to another shop, and she ended up with a $2,200 repair to the engine. So the question is, what would have happened if they would have done that transmission and ended up with the same problem? Wow. So I'll tell you how it turned out, and you can learn from that, because this is how you protect yourself. And, of course, it's called self-defense for car expense. And that's right here every Saturday, 10 to noon. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem and Andy Salem here at your service, 602-508-0960. Let me tell you real quick about Action Auto Repair. They're located at I-17 in Deer Valley. We talked about them a few minutes ago. It's a full-service, family-owned operation. It's an auto repair shop that served the Deer Valley and North Phoenix area since 1983. Tom owns it. I've known Tom since at least 1979. Whatever your repair needs are, Tom and his staff are well-known for quality workmanship, honest, excellent customer service, and a pretty doggone good fast turnaround time. They have ASE Master Certified Technicians, and they get the job done right the very first time, or at least they work hard. And everybody knows that if the car comes back, all of us shop owners knows whose fault it is. And Tom is the first guy to raise his hand and say, we did this wrong. So we all know how to do that, and that's the difference between my best list of shops and some of the other ones. So nevertheless, Tom is at Action Auto, I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner. Let me tell you a real quick story. Lady takes her car into a repair shop, and they tell, and she talks about a noise. First thing in the morning, only occurs first thing in the morning, doesn't occur during the rest of the day. They call her and tell her it needs a transmission. I think it was $3,800. Her boyfriend calls me. He's a friend of mine. He says, da-da-da. And I said, you know what? I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Bonnie. She's the one that knows. And he laughs and he says, here's your number. And I said, just have her call me. So she calls me and we go through this. When does it make the noise first thing in the morning? When you rev the motor, does the noise change with the rev? She says, yes. How long does it last? Anywhere from 5 seconds to maybe a minute. And does it do it any other day? No. Hot or cold? Only cold first thing in the morning. Now, if it's making the noise and you're in a hurry and you put it in reverse, does the noise still there? Yes, it is. But when it's in park, the noise is there. Yes, it still is. I said to her, I don't think this is a transmission problem, because when you're in park, the transmission's not doing anything. So how can it make the noise? What does it sound like? She says, it sounds like it's coming from the front of the engine, up in the engine compartment. I say to her, you know what? I want you to go call him up and say this. Call him up and say, you know, my dad's in Wisconsin, and I'm going to have to borrow some money for this transmission, so would you write down what it needs, and then put your name and your phone number there, because I'm going to fax this to my dad and have him call you, because I need to borrow money from him. And they say, okay. So she gets there, and they hand her her ticket, and the ticket is folded in half, and it's stapled. So she walks out to her car, and she opens it up, and there's nothing on it. It just says, check transmission. Or check noise, I don't know which one it meant. But there's no name, there's no nothing. So she goes back inside and says, well, you know, just write down the estimate there, and then, you know, sign, put your name there so my dad who knows who to ask, and then put the phone number there. And they said no. So she takes it to another shop, and they determine that the timing chain tensioner is bad, so they do $2,200 worth of work at the front of the engine, and then she calls me later and says, car fixed. So the question is, did you learn anything from that? That's where you separate the men from the boys, the good from the bad. Because those of us that play by the rules and are honest to you, we're going to write that down and sign our name to it. But those guys that won't write down their estimate, write down their diagnosis, sign their name and put their phone number next to it, are guys that you need to worry about. So that's my story, and that's a true story. Larry, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a 2009 Dodge Charger. And recently I had a radiator flush, and now the heat only works on the passenger side, and then the air comes out cold on the driver's side. And it's the same through the vent or through the foot panel. Just trying to figure out what's causing that.
Okay, the flush is done underneath the hood, so it's very unlikely. I can't think of a hypothesis that would say this. Here's what you have. You probably have automatic temperature control, where the passenger can pick one temperature and the driver can pick the other. There is blend doors and activators underneath the dash that will give my wife 80 degrees and give me 62 degrees. So you have a door problem, and that door problem is preventing it from doing what you're commanding it to do. Now, there are some procedures that are somewhat easy to reset the parameters. They're all different, but I want to give you an example. But don't try this on your car. You would turn the key on and off 3 times. Then you would turn it to the on position. You would turn the air on and put it at 90 degrees, and then you would turn it off. Then you would turn it to 60 degrees and then turn it on, and then you turn the key off and you walk away for 60 seconds. I'm making fun of the procedure, but what we're doing is the computer is going to open and close each door, and the reason why the computer knows it's at the open position and the closed position, it's monitoring the electrical consumption of that circuit. So the electrical consumption is 2 amps until the door hits a stop, and then it skyrockets to 10. So then it commands it to close, so forth and so on. You need to have somebody diagnose it. It's probably going to be a motor. It's probably going to be under the dash. It's coincidental that it happened during their flush because one has nothing to do with the other. One of them is an electrical actuator motor, and the other is mechanical work where you're flushing liquid out of the coolant. Now, out of the engine. It is true that they were flushing the heater core, but the heater core is behind the glove box, but their activity is underneath the hood. So I would think that I think I'm 99% sure your problem's underneath the dash, an area they weren't at.
Okay. All right. Well, the, I guess one complication, the air conditioning does work on both sides, but the heater different.
Okay, now if that door, I want you to picture an upside down Y, okay? I want you to picture a Y right side up. The left arm of the Y is hot air, and the right side of the Y is cold air, and then the stalk of the Y, the letter Y, is the vent. Are you with me? If that door sticks and closes off the hot side, then all you're going to get is cold side no matter what you ask for.
Okay. Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Let me explain. That door, I can't tell you how many lipstick containers, how many straws from Jack in the Box, how much crap we find in there causing that door not to open. Not to mention the sodas that are spilled by sitting on the dash and the caramel in there. So somebody has to go in there and fix it. This isn't going to cost you a lot of money. Just have somebody diagnose it. But ask them, is this something you've done before? Because you don't want no three-whisker kid doing this job, okay?
Yeah. Okie doke. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Larry. Chris, you have to stay there. I got to take a break, but I promise to get you first, right after the break. First thing, no matter what. 11:41, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 45 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Andy Salem sitting to my left, and my name's Mark Salem. And Monday through Friday, both of us can be found at our repair shop in Tempe, Salem Boys Auto. We're not here to talk about our shop. We're here to talk about all the other good shops in town. But if you live in the Tempe, Chandler, West Tempe, West Chandler, Gilbert, Ahwatukee, Sun Lakes area, we are probably a close shop to you, and you're welcome to come to our facility if that's what you want to do. The rest of you, I would prefer that you go to SalemBoysAuto.com, which is our website, and find a repair shop, a body shop, a transmission shop, a diesel shop in your geographical area. We've divided the city into 4 quadrants, northeast, northwest, southwest, and southeast, and I'm pretty sure you can find a shop there, and all these shops are good shops that have been around a long time. So that's the purpose of what we do is to make the good guys in our industries look good, and we send, you know, I have family who live in North Phoenix that go to some of these shops, and I wouldn't send my family if I didn't know that they were going to treat them right, and that's the same thing. I'm not going to send you to somebody I know that's going to take advantage of you. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Automatic Transmission Exchange. We call it ATE. They've been rebuilding transmissions in the Phoenix area since 1968. Phil and his staff are transmission diagnostic experts. Transmission repairs and replacements done by Automatic Transmission Exchange have gone to the next level in this respect. He's got a new piece of equipment that allows him to actually operate the transmission before he puts it into your car. What happens so many times is and it happens to us, you work on a transmission, you put it in the car, and you made a mistake or you've got an oil leak. So that's going to set the whole process back a day or two because now you've got to take it all the way back out, fix it, and put it all the way back in. Now, the customer doesn't pay for that extra in and out. You do. Well, Phil has the ability to test the operation of that transmission and its ability to not leak fluid right there before he puts it in your car. So there's very few transmission shops in town that have that ability to test your transmission. So if you live anywhere in Central Phoenix, anywhere at all, actually, 40th Street in Washington is where Phil's at. Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, and he's open from 8 to 12 for your convenience. And like the other guys on our list, he'll drive your car for free, he'll talk to you for free, and he'll give you good advice. You probably want to stay away Monday mornings and Friday afternoons because those are kind of busy times. So you got anything on your mind?
Nope, not that I can think of offhand.
Any more stories you want to tell about your father to embarrass the heck out of me?
Well, that would take days.
That would take days. Okay, so I got a guy that sent me an email, and he says, my daughter's got a car, and it cranks but doesn't start. And he said, is there an accelerator pump on this fuel-injected car? And the accelerator pump is the pump that squirts gas in every time you touch the throttle. So I write back, and I go, no, there is no such thing. I said, what has to happen is somebody has to figure out whether we're missing spark or fuel. Because if we're missing spark, it'll crank but won't start. And if we're missing fuel, then it'll crank and they'll start. Mm-hmm. He writes me back and he says they finally got it running. They took him to a shop and the shop sold him and they told him your fuel injection system needs a tune-up. And he says, what do you think about that? And I said, well, that's not going to fix a crank but no start condition. Now notice, folks, the technical words I'm using here. Crank but don't start or catch. People will come in, and it's not because they're trying to be mean. They just don't know the difference. It doesn't start. Well, it doesn't start is one of two. It doesn't go rrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr to know there's a big difference. If you hit the key and it doesn't go rrr, 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 then we have a battery, a starter, a neutral safety switch, an ignition lock assembly. We have one of those problems. But if it goes rrr, 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 and it doesn't catch, then it's spark or fuel. So you have when you can't just say
it doesn't start.
It doesn't start
because you help in just those little few words help in the diagnostic process. A no crank, no start. It makes one click. It makes rapid clicking. Okay, we know that that's on the no crank, no start side. But if we've got a crank, no start, then we know, okay, we got fuel, spark, some sort of issue like that.
Do you make those noises in the lobby when
I don't. I ask the customers to. Exactly. What is it doing?
So you don't go, rrr, rrr, rrr.
No.
All right. And this goes back to, and it's women are not, the men are the worst.
Yeah.
The men are the worst because it doesn't start. They throw the keys at you. Wait a minute. I need more than it doesn't start.
Yeah.
And then you walk outside, hit the key, boom, starts right up. And so you go, now what do I do?
Yeah.
So I need to know if it's cranking and it doesn't catch or run. Is this a no run? We got a crank but no run? Or we got no crank? And you described it even better than I did. Is it a click or two, or is it tick, 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 tick?
Yeah.
A rapid fire machine gun type
or,
click.
Or, you know, people will say it doesn't start. Okay, well, you know, but it eventually will. Okay, well, are you cycling the key on and off a bunch of times? And then, you know, every third time it will start. That tells us something.
Yes.
So any information that people can give us to kind of help pinpoint is great.
We had one of our best customers. He had brought this 56 Chevrolet in how many times because of a no-start condition?
Mm-hmm.
He'd hit the key and nothing would happen.
Yeah.
Eddie, one of our senior technicians, is assigned to the old cars. And every time Eddie could get it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to the point where I said to the customer, you know what, we'll change out the battery, we'll change out the starter, we'll just do that for you, and we'll see what we can do. So one day we talked, and then he called me back the next day, and he goes, I figured it out. He said, Eddie was soft on the key,
mm-hmm.
So he just hit the key until it cranked. But I was turning the key fast and hard to the right to the stop, and it won't crank there. So he says, if I were just to just gently take the key and rotate it clockwise at 2 o'clock to 2 o'clock, he said, I was taking it all the way to 3 o'clock. But he says, it cranks fine and starts fine at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so communication is so important. He fixed his own problem.
Yeah. It wasn't really a problem. It was, yeah, I mean, just he was doing, not that we weren't doing, that we kind
of
figured out.
Have you seen the size of this guy's hands, too?
No.
He's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine him with his big old paws grabbing a hold of that key and just hammering that thing to the right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that communicate. What portion of communication at the front counter of our shop creates havoc? I mean, 10% of our communication is deficient. Mm-hmm. We and the customer are not on the same track.
Yeah.
So that necessitates diagnostic money spent where we shouldn't have been spending money.
Yeah, or, you know, the kids are driving it and the parents are calling in the problem, or husband and wife, or we're not talking to the driver of the vehicle. So that's a big problem because it gets lost in translation and it's just a mess.
But I'm going to tell you, though, I firmly believe that women do a better job talking to us than men do, because mm-hmm. men want to tell us what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
The women, I remember this. This used to happen all the time on General Motors cars, all the time. You get off the freeway. It's only on the freeway. You're getting off the freeway, and you come to a stop at the exit ramp, and the car feels like you have a four speed, but you forgot to push in the clutch. So it comes, and it dies. So you put it in neutral or park, and you start it up, and it starts fine. The minute you put it in drive, it lurches forward and dies. Thousands of cars had a bad torque converter clutch solenoid. Mm-hmm. Thousands of them. Millions of them. Thousands of our customers. So the women would use that synopsis about four-speed. It's like I had a four-speed, and I came in and was braking, but I didn't push the clutch in. Oh, guys would tell us all kinds of stuff. You know what the diagnosis was on that?
Hmm.
Just disconnect the stupid connector to the transmission for the torque converter clutch. Give them the car back and say, come see me in 2 weeks. They come back and they go, hasn't happened once. Okay, fine. Plug it back in and say to the ladies, this is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
So they drive it. They said, yep, it's back. I said, well, I can fix it. But if you don't want to deal with it right now, just unplug that yellow thing I told you to plug in.
Yeah.
And they do it. One lady said, my fingernails really aren't designed for that. And I said, well, you come by, mine are. So that communication level is pretty
so important.
Okay, so I got another email, and a guy said to me, and he was very nice too. He said to me, oh, folks, if you want to send me an email, you can, but I need you to give me your phone number. The reason I want you to give me, I don't have a database. I'm not going to keep your phone number. You're going to send me an email to my private phone. I'm going to get it on my private phone. I'm going to call you back, but it's going to be a blocked number for obvious reasons. My wife would kill me if we went to dinner and my phone rang off the hook. So I'm going to call you back on a blocked line. My email address is easy. Mark@SalemBoysAuto.com. Mark, M-A-R-K, at Salem, spelled like the cigarette, Boys, B-O-Y-S, Auto.com. If you have a car question, I don't care. Any time of the day or night, first thing in the morning, I check all my emails. And those of you that leave me a message, I call you back. So anyway, if you want to do that, Mark@SalemBoysAuto.com. But anyway, he said, would you install my transmission?
Oh, yeah.
So he had shop number one diagnose it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's using a shop out of Texas to provide him with a rebuilt transmission. And he wants shop number three to install it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, that is the recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Because shop number one's diagnosis is wrong. You're going to buy a transmission in Texas, have it shipped here, and have me install it. Then what happens is you have the same problem. And shop number one's going to say, Mark didn't install it right. And Mark's going to say, you didn't diagnose it right. The only way Mark can guarantee that you didn't diagnose it right is to provide a free diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to fix his problem. Now, if somebody doesn't flush the transmission cooler, because the old cooler or the old transmission came apart and filled the transmission cooler full of metal. If somebody doesn't flush that, then all that metal ends up in the new transmission.
Yeah.
So then at that point, then the rebuilder says, I'm not going to warranty this transmission that failed because I gave it to you clean and you're giving it big full of metal. So you have all these dynamics. So I said to him, you really should have the guy who diagnoses it do the work. Because, now, let me ask you a question. If somebody comes in and says, he said that I need a new starter, what are you going to say to them at the front counter?
I would say that we still need to diagnose it ourselves.
Absolutely.
There's no question. So, I mean, if we do that's the only way we can really stand behind the repair and make sure that it is 100% fixed.
The customer's in the middle otherwise.
Yeah.
Because if they say, put an alternator in, and you put an alternator in, and it doesn't work, then it's a three-way conversation.
Yeah.
Shop one says, shop two screwed up. Shop two says, all I did is what the customer told me to do. Mm-hmm. So the customer says, I don't want to pay for a new alternator because that didn't fill my problem. I said, fine. Shop number three says, go back and talk to shop number one. Shop number one says, well, shop number three probably didn't do a good job.
It's, I mean, the customer may be out a second diagnosis fee, but in the big scheme of things, it's in their best interest.
But if they hang their hat with the first shop and say to them, look them in the eye and say, look it, I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars and you're going to get rid of the noise, period. I don't want to pay for guesses. Mm-hmm. I want to pay for fixing, not guessing. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to guess, we're guessing with your money, Mr. Shop Owner, mm-hmm. because you're risking here $185.
1 minute.
If you better get rid of my noise for $185, because if you don't, then I'm going to have a tough time paying you.
Yeah.
So I just want to hear, I want you to look at me, I want you to eye to eye, and I want to know you're going to fix my problem, not guessing.
Yeah.
Now, there is time for guessing,
yeah.
but you have to explain it.
And the shop has to say up front, you know,
right.
this is a guess. Do you want to spend $150 as a guess? It's an educated guess, but do you want to do it?
Or it might be $59,
yeah.
or it could be $35.
Yeah.
It could be
whatever
anything.
That number
but
is.
But whatever the number is, we're guessing with your money. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to us? It's cheaper than the diagnosis. This $85 is cheaper than the $150 we're going to charge you for diagnosing mm-hmm. it. And we feel 85% sure this is what it's going to be. Okay, one more time, my email address, mark@salemboysauto.com, mark@salemboysauto.com. And you're going to get an answer from me personally. I promise you. Just send it there. And thank you for spending your Saturday with me. We'll see you next Saturday at 10:00.